This is Photo Biz X episode number 224, and today's special guest is Paul Rogers. He used to shoot for the Times newspaper in the UK. He's an experienced and incredibly talented photojournalist, and he's now turned his attention to wedding photography. When I heard that he'd spent around $10,000 to attend a photography workshop for wedding photographers, I just had to learn more. That interview's coming up in just a minute.
Are you planning to have a successful wedding and portrait photography business? Join Andrew as he interviews successful photographers and business experts to fast-track your success. Welcome to the Photo Biz Exposed podcast with your host, Andrew Helmich.
Hey, it's Andrew Helmich here from Impact Images, and welcome to this episode of the podcast. A little bit of a self-indulgent one, I have to admit. I interviewed Paul Rogers for episode 9 of the Photography Experiment podcast. I was blown away by him, his approach, his experience. I mean, this is one super talented photographer. When I heard that he'd registered for the Foundation Photography Workshop, it's a workshop that happens mainly, well, it used to happen only in the States, but you'll hear more about that when I interview Paul. When I heard that he was going to go to the other side of the world to do a photography workshop, I was just intrigued. And not only a photography workshop, but one which was going to cost him around $10,000. I was blown away. So I wanted to learn more about that. And the other reason I think it's a little bit self-indulgent is because I have been personally intrigued by this particular workshop, the Foundation. It's very difficult to find anything online about it from participants. It always sounds intriguing. I was very, very close myself to pulling the trigger and attending one of these workshops, but I just couldn't make it work with the timing. And I got to say, the price was definitely a factor for me as well. So when I heard that Paul had attended one of these workshops, I was super interested to hear about it, to hear why, to hear what it was like, and more importantly, how he's been able to, or if he's been able to use what he's learned now that the workshop has come and gone and the money's been spent. Was it worth it? So yeah, a bit of a self-indulgent one. I'm sure there's going to be some lessons here for you, like there was for me in regard to business and learning and photography. And I think, yes, this is a little bit of a break from the 100% business-focused podcast or interview that you might be used to. But I am banking on the fact that there are takeaways in this one. And if there aren't, I'm banking on the fact that it's going to be entertaining anyway, and you're going to enjoy this interview with Paul. Before we get into that, I usually like to share a little bit about me and my week and what's been happening in my world. And, well, last week at this time, at this exact time, I was in Melbourne with my wife, Linda. And there was no real, well, I guess the original reason to Linda was to get away for a weekend and have some time together away from our usual routine. And Melbourne was as good a place as any. It's a lovely city. There's great shopping there, as I learned from Linda. She was shopping while I was out exploring on one of the days. But it was also a great excuse to have a meetup with some PhotoBizX members. And we had a great afternoon. We met at the National Gallery of Victoria, which Linda and I since learned that there are two National Galleries of Victoria. So, we rushed over to the one we were meant to be at and met up with Kylie, Mark, Alan, Ian, Mulia, Chris, Robert and Jerome. And we had a great time looking at the photography and also catching up afterward for a few drinks. So, yeah, for those of you that made it, thanks so much. It was a real pleasure for me meeting you in person for those that I hadn't in the past. And I look forward to seeing you all again at some stage. So after Melbourne, where I actually saved money, well, I didn't focus so much on shopping, certainly not as much as Linda. I don't know if you have heard of a shop called or an outlet called TK Maxx, but she discovered that while I was up at the State Library checking that out, which was just beautiful. And anyway, I got this message from Linda saying that she discovered TK Maxx and she wasn't coming anytime soon. The luggage was absolutely bulging at the seams when we left, and it certainly wasn't like that when we arrived. So, yeah, all in all, we had a great time away. The money that I saved, I ended up spending anyway later in the week because I took delivery of a brand new Fuji X100F. I am super excited to have this camera. I've been waiting for quite a while. ever since I sold the X100S, I was questioning why I did that. And this little camera arrived yesterday, and I'm looking forward to taking it to weddings, to professional photography shoots, engagement shoots, and also using it for personal stuff as well. So, yeah, really, really happy to have this camera again. I took a few photos yesterday, got the family out of the house grudgingly before we went out for family dinner with Linda's parents, and snapped off a few photos, and yeah, just loved it. It's such a great little camera. And I was also lucky enough to take delivery of a brand new MacBook Pro, and wow, it's so good having a new computer. And the Retina screen, man, I am blown away. It's fantastic. I spend so much time on my laptop now. It's so good to have a new one and just realize how slow the old one was. What I don't like is the lack of ports. It's just terrible, isn't it? Like, you have to upgrade everything to USB-C and get adapters and USB ports. And yeah, that part's a bit of a pain, but using the actual laptop itself, it's great. So yeah, exciting times around the Helmich household this week and last. All right, that is enough about me. We're going to get into the show and the interview with Paul in just a second. After the interview, I've got an announcement about a special, a very rare special on the PhotoBizX premium membership. I've got a bundle put together with a Facebook ads course. And if you've already purchased the Facebook ads course, I've got a special price for a 12-month membership for you as well. So more details about that after the interview with Paul.
Want to know more about Andrew? Follow him on Instagram at Andrew_Helmich.
If you're listening to the free podcast episode, you're hearing this announcement right now. I do cut this out and remove these segments from the premium versions of the episode. And the reason for these announcements is just to let you know that you will only be hearing half the interview with Paul today. It's the same with interviews most week if you're listening to the free version. So I save the second half interview for premium members only. And I know you're going to love what Paul has to share in today's interview. It's not as business focused, like I mentioned earlier. But yeah, have a listen to the first half. If you want to hear the second half of the interview with Paul, head over to photobizx.com/try. And for $1, you can get a 30-day access to the premium membership. It's full access, so you become a fully fledged premium member for that 30 days. See if it's a good fit for you. Check out the premium members Facebook group. Check out all the premium resources, the bonus downloads, the extra promo codes, the reduced prices on courses. It's all there and part of your membership. If you feel like it's a good fit, stay on with your membership and be part of a pretty amazing community of photographers. It really is something special, which you'll see once you check it out for that $1 price tag. Now, if you know it's something you're going to love, wait till after the interview with Paul, because I do have some specials on offer for a 12-month membership. Let's get into this interview.
Welcome to another Great Eye for Business. It's time for Andrew's special guest.
Hi, Andrew.
Hey, Paul. How are you going, mate?
Yeah, not too bad. How are you?
Good, mate. Good. Thanks for doing this again.
Yeah, no worries. Sorry, just get these headphones in.
Are you running around in a mad rush or you're all good?
No, I'm fine. Wife's at home, taking the kids to school this morning, which is nice. So, no, all ready for you.
Do you work from home or do you have an office somewhere?
No, I'm in the spare bedroom at home.
Oh, okay, right. Okay. Yeah. So is that where you see clients and stuff too, like at home, or you have a...
No, to be honest, it's been a while since I've met a client in person before the wedding. And before that, there's a members club in London that I used to use, which is really handy because I was in London anyway, and I would just arrange to meet them after work. And it gave a nice impression. you know, give them a nice beer and a glass of wine, sit down. It's really quite a nice club in the middle of London. And I got almost 100% booking rate from doing it that way. And then since I've stopped working in London and I'm only at home, I really encourage Skype calls. And in fact, I don't even give clients the option of coming to meet me. And every now and then I might get one that wants to come and meet, but I try and put them off, to be honest.
Okay. So you've actually moved then since we last spoke?
No, it was just from working at the newspaper in London. Yeah, so I stopped doing that 2 years ago. But up until that point, I was doing almost a full-time job working at the Times. And then I would fit in client meetings at the end of the day. So I would already be in London. I live about 40 minutes out of London. So it just makes sense. Occasionally I'll meet clients and I might go to their house or meet them in the town that I live in. but I'm not keen on them coming back to our house.
Yeah, fair enough. Have the booking rates changed since doing the Skype calls and you stopped meeting them at the club?
Yeah, it's not as high, definitely. Probably 75% of the clients that actually meet on Skype will book. But I'm quite happy about that because it means that, you know, if I was going into London to meet them, that's half a day out of the office. If I do a Skype call, I tend to put it on for 8:30, 9 o'clock at night when the kids are in bed, and I just fit it into my natural routine, and I'm saving time and money doing it that way. So yeah, 75% is acceptable, I think.
I've got Paul Rogers, the UK photojournalist, with me and with you on today's call. I've interviewed Paul for the Photography Experiment podcast for episode 9, and he previously worked for the newspaper as a photojournalist, for the Times newspaper, no less, in London, and he photographed all kinds of subjects and projects, from royalty, celebrities, world leaders and war zones and natural disasters. Like, it was an amazing story, so get back and have a listen to that episode if you haven't. But the reason I contacted Paul for this follow-up interview was I saw a Facebook post of his, and he said that he'd been to the foundation workshop. It instantly caught my eye because I've been following posts and I've done a lot of Googling on the foundation workshop in the past. I was very close to pulling the trigger myself. And if you haven't heard of foundation workshop, I'll get Paul to go into more detail in a minute, but it's a workshop for documentary photographers or people that want to get into documentary photography and particularly wedding photographers. And the videos and the reports and things that I read, these personal blog posts from people that have been to foundation workshops, came across as incredible. Like, people went through these amazing changes, lots of tears, personal growth, as well as amazing photography. But there's very little information out there about the actual workshops. And what really caught my eye about Paul and Paul's post was the fact that here is this guy who has decades of experience. I would have expected Paul to be posting that he's going to be teaching at Foundation Workshop, not going there as a student. I saw that and thought, I've got to get him on the line and want to have a chat to him, and I'm really happy to have him with me now. So, Paul, welcome back.
Hi, Andrew. Cool. I could listen to that introduction all day. Thank you.
But it's all true. Well, first of all, I was surprised that you went. So I'd love to know why you decided to go. Like, what was your intention?
Yeah, I think I just want to keep learning, and I think I got to the point in my career, and I've been a photographer for 20 years, you know, as long as I've been working. It's the only job I've really ever had. And the vast majority of that was news gathering and doing news and features for newspapers and agencies. And when I got to the point where I had to make the decision to move into weddings, it felt like my photography was a little bit stale. And, you know, I knew what worked in terms of news photography and what the newspaper needed and wanted. And when I applied that to weddings, it was a fairly successful formula, and I was coming up with some good pictures that clients liked. But I didn't feel that I was learning or progressing as a photographer. I just felt like things were stale. So when I heard about Foundation, and I was in the same position as you, I'd seen a lot of very vague posts and kind of intriguing tidbits about what photographers achieved on Foundation. I looked more into it, and I really wanted to go, and there was a couple of mates at home in the UK that were in the same boat, so we just bit the bullet and did it.
Oh, so you went with a couple of other photographers from the UK?
Yeah, and I think that was quite key in my decision. I don't think I'd have had the guts to do it on my own.
Why wouldn't you have the guts? You're an incredibly talented photographer. You've got all these years of experience behind you. What were you worried about?
Yeah, it's just, I think it's putting yourself on the line and opening yourself up to really very honest and truthful criticism, which is going to help you grow as a photographer. But, you know, traveling halfway around the world and the logistics of that and the cost of everything associated with doing that course, I kind of just wanted a couple of wingmen, really, and to have a bit of a good time before the conference and to have some moral support while I was there. I mean, it was unneeded in the end because the group of photographers are so good. They're such an amazing group of people, all with the same mindset, and everyone's trying to achieve the same thing, so there was no need. But it was good to share the experience with a couple of friends who I've known. I mean, it was Alexis Javorski, another wedding photographer in the UK, and Nick Ray, who I've known Nick for 20 years, ever since he started the Times the same time I did, and we've had a similar career path in that he now shoots weddings as well. So it was really, really good for me to travel with two friends and have that kind of backup.
Sure. So I guess a couple of things to fill the listener in. The workshops themselves, they only happen in Texas. Is that right?
I think they've expanded it now to, I know they've done one in South America maybe, and I think there's one in Europe now. Last year they did one in Spain, and I think it's there again this year.
Okay. So where did you go for yours?
Yeah, this one was Texas. It's the original foundation workshop. I think it's been going for a dozen years or so. It's quite well established. Yeah, and in Texas now, I think they do two types of foundation. There's like a beginner's one with that's aimed at people with less experience in photojournalism or photography to get to grips with what photojournalism is all about and how you apply that to your own work. And then the standard foundation workshop, which I think is aimed more at people who are in a similar position to myself, and you know that they've been working as a wedding photographer for a few years and they're looking for the next step to advance their work.
Right, okay. So you fly halfway around the world to do the course. How long is it? Is it 3 days?
It's 4 days now, I think. It's 5 days.
Okay.
I think they've added a day because it's basically 2 days shooting and now it's 2 days critique of each of those days and a day beforehand to just prepare, really. And previously from years before, I think it was 1 day shorter and it meant a lot of work through the night. So a lot of the anxiousness from the photographers is that working continually 24 hours, going out and shooting and then coming back and facing an 8 hour crit right through the night. So they've taken that out of the equation and it means students get a lot more sleep and can focus a bit more on the work.
Right, okay. So the cost that I can see on their website is $4,600. So that's what you paid?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So was that something you had to consider, like carefully? Like I can imagine breaking that to my wife. Hey, I want to go and do a workshop. It's $4,600 and that just covers the course, not flights or accommodation.
Yeah, I know. Guys, it does sound expensive. And it was expensive and it was a drain on the business last year. Because obviously on top of that, you've got the flights, the accommodation. When you get out, we went for 5 or 6 days before the conference and a little bit of traveling together. Plus you're away from your business for 2 weeks. And on top of that, I think we got accepted on foundation about this time last year. And then Brexit happened in June. And the exchange rate of the dollar and the pound, we just saw plummet. And so I think we paid the first installment when the pound was fairly strong. That was okay. And then through the year, the deadline comes to pay more installments as you get closer to the end of the year. And it was just getting even more expensive. Every day that passed, we were watching the exchange rates. It was getting even more expensive. But yeah, that's a cost I kind of figured that's, it's the one training course I did last year. And I try and do something every year. And it was, yeah, it was a lot more expensive than usual. But I think I needed to have something big to aim for. And this was certainly it.
Sure. And the reason I bring up the price isn't to, like, you know, frighten the listener and hit them with that shock factor. But I'm curious because if you go into a workshop, you're looking at, say, at a $10,000 plus couple of weeks to go and do this thing. Does that place a lot of pressure on you, like mentally? Are you going into this thinking, this is bloody well got to pay off, or I have to work my butt off to make this pay for itself? Like, what's going through your head when you're getting on the plane to go there and do this?
Yeah, that did go through my mind. But I think by the time you get there, you've paid for it and you've made that mental decision. I think without having any preconceptions, you have to go in with an open mind and just accept what's going to happen and just try and take the most out of it. So that's how I entered it. I know preconceptions of what I would or wouldn't learn. I just wanted to see what the experience was like and see if it worked for me. If it didn't, and I don't think I've ever seen any interview or any article on the blog where someone was disappointed with doing the course and didn't think it was value for money. I haven't seen that anywhere. So I was fairly confident that there was things for me to learn and that I would come away from it as a better photographer. Maybe not instantly, and we'll talk a little bit about that, but I think it starts the building blocks and the process for you to learn where you need to go in the next few years as a photographer, which without that, I would just be continuing in exactly the same path as I have been for the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Just staying on the price for 1 second.
Yeah.
If the course or if the workshop was $1,000, you know, do you think you'd go in feeling differently about it?
Yeah, I see what you're getting at here. And there is a definite feeling that this is probably the most expensive training I'm doing. I want to make sure that I'm getting value for money. And yeah, perhaps I would have had a different view had it been a lot cheaper. But when you look at it, it's 5 days with there's 10 or 12 staff there, mentors. There's probably about 20 staff there. But they're all amazingly successful wedding photographers and photojournalists in their own right. And to have that kind of access for 5 days is amazing. And that's going to cost you some money. You know, you think about how much each of us charges for a day's work at a wedding. And that's obviously 2 or 3 days of actual work with post-processing and client contact. To take someone out of their business for 5 days, you need to pay them a decent wage to do that. And when you have that many people in that situation, the costs mount up, and I think that's why it's so expensive.
Yeah, that's an interesting way to put it, because we expect to charge our clients that much. Why am I balking at that price?
Exactly. I think when I looked at the price and I thought the opportunity cost of this is 2 new camera bodies or 3 weddings. And if I shoot 3 more weddings, I've basically paid for that trip. And when you look at it in those terms, I think 3 weddings out of what I shot 46 last year is value for money.
Absolutely. Yeah. So from what I've gathered, and it's interesting because I actually contacted, is it We?
Yeah.
Who runs it, or is the owner? Is he the owner? Is that how his title?
Yeah, I'm not sure how it's set up business-wise, but We set up Fearless, obviously, that you're familiar with.
Yes.
And I don't know if Fearless came before Foundation or Foundation came before Fearless, but they run fairly in tandem. A lot of the photographers, probably all of the photographers on Foundation, have been or are members of Fearless. And so there's that everyone there is coming from, is reading the same book, and they all have the same approach to photography.
Yeah. No, because I contacted Hui for an interview, because I would have loved to have had him on, because I'm so interested in this myself. So I guess this is a bit self-indulgent, this whole interview.
Yeah.
Because it does intrigue me, but he declined, and I think English might have been a factor. But I guess the cynical side of me was thinking, well, these guys are onto something so good that there's no need to talk about it. And the more they talk about it, they're just going to damage what they've already got. So I didn't really know why he or someone else didn't want to come on the show and talk about it, because I thought that would be a great opportunity. So from what I've read, and the reason I wanted to talk to him was to learn more about the workshop, because everything that I've read, like you, gave these amazing accounts, these breakthroughs and these personal discoveries, these improvements in photography. And a lot of them seem to be based around these assignments that you get and then the critiques that go with it. So can you talk a little bit about your assignment when you were there?
Yeah, sure. So they split you into smaller groups, and there were 6 of us in our group and with 2 mentors. And the mentors I had were Ben Chrisman and Candice Kusic, which
wow.
Fantastic photographers.
Great mentors.
Yeah, I have a huge amount of respect for both of them. And I knew their work very well before I went to Foundation. So I was over the moon that they were my mentors. And we have a day or so of classroom teaching where, you know, some photojournalism foundation is built in, and how you apply that to your story, a little bit about wedding photography and the business part of the wedding photography. And then you're given your assignments, and they were fairly varied, but all with a similar theme. They tend to be local families or local business owners who have signed up, I suppose, to have a photography student come and shadow them for 2 days in return for having access to some of the photographs. So that's the deal with the subjects. And it varies. Some of the subjects had been photographed before previous conferences, workshops. Some of them hadn't. And the family that I got, it was a farming family of Sonia and Johan and their 5 kids. They'd been photographed 3 or 4 times before, so they knew the drill, which was great from my point of view, because when I turned up at 6 o'clock in the morning, there was no need to explain to the kids why there was a strange man in their room photographing them eating their cereal.
So what was your brief, Paul? You turned up to this family. You just knock on the door and, hey, I'm Paul. I'm here to photograph you.
Yeah. I mean, that's part of what Foundation is about, is trying to discover what the brief is. And
oh, so you're not given a brief. There's no story that you're covering.
No, that's entirely up to you, which is interesting because, and that was my first mistake, because I think I chose the wrong story with his family. And I'll tell you a little bit about that in a second. But when you turn up, you're very much, because you've got 2 days shooting, you're very much trying to feel the ground on the first day and try and put into practice what Ben and Candice have tried to drill into you the day before. And the great thing about doing a workshop like this is, because there's no expectation on your photography, it frees you up to try loads of different things that you wouldn't necessarily try for a paying client. So the key element here is that it's not about the photographs that you take. When you leave Foundation, whether or not you've got an amazing slideshow to show at the end is irrelevant, really. It's more about learning different techniques or different approaches to a subject, and having the ability to practice that on some real live subjects. A lot of what I was told at Foundation, I've read and I've seen online, and it's all stuff that we know. But having the experience of trying to fit that into a live situation, that's when you really learn, and that's when it really sinks in and you can take that away.
Can you give me an example of what you're talking about there? I'm not sure if I understand you here.
Okay, so I think the real lesson for me was learning to put a little bit of myself into the photography. And that's a big theme of a Foundation is, you know, when you shoot weddings, you approach it from the point of view, you start in the morning, you shoot the prep, you shoot the ceremony, you shoot the reception, you're making technically good photographs, aesthetically pleasing compositions, and you're capturing great moments. And individually, they're beautiful pictures, and as a set, they work well, and the client loves them. But it's the same each week. And I think to get at the heart of what you're photographing, unless you have something to say about the subject, your pictures are going to be the same every single week. So I don't know if I'm explaining this particularly well, but...
Yeah, I don't want to interrupt now. So I get that. So you walk in to this family.
Yeah.
And there's no brief. You have to find out what the story is. So do you do that before you start shooting, or you just start shooting?
No, and... to be honest, you know, the story can change. You can go in. When I first went into this family, I thought, yeah, okay, dairy farm. There's going to be loads going on the farm, cows, mum and dad working on there, lots of stuff to photograph. And that's the distraction, is that there is too much to photograph. And unless you really narrow it down to something particular about that family that you want to say, then you're just left flailing. And, you know, you look at your contact sheets and there's pictures all over the place. There's no purpose to what you're shooting. And that's very much what happened on day one. I didn't know what the story was. I was shooting everything that moved. I was reacting to stuff rather than anticipating moments. And halfway through the day, I thought my stuff was okay. I was looking at the back of the camera and there were some nice compositions and nice pictures and I'd found some nice light, but none of it had any meaning at all. It was all meaningless. And it was only when halfway through the day, one of the mentors comes and, you know, takes you out of the situation for an hour and looks through your pictures and gives you an on-day crit, a mini crit there.
Are they critiquing from the back of your camera or you download your files?
Yeah, no. They're just looking at the back of the camera, watching. You know, the first day it was Ben came out to see me at lunchtime. And it was really that visit that shook me up and said, I'm photographing this in the same way that I've approached everything before and I haven't really understood what Foundation is about yet. And simple things like, I was not building context into the pictures. And there's a couple of examples of where firstly, I didn't know what the story was. You know, I'm sounding confused now because I'm thinking back to that first day and I was just shooting everything that moved. And when Ben came and saw how I was working and I was missing opportunities and missing pictures all over the place, the bottom line of this story was that it's a dairy family and it's about cows and dairy. And there was things like, for instance, the mum had this huge vehicle that she carries all the kids around in, and the number plate of this vehicle is Texas Milk. It's completely missed me to try and build that kind of relevance into the pictures. Or, you know, when I first turned up, the kids weren't in school uniform. It was a school day. I think it was a Thursday. And they were all in mufti because there was, it's like a pyjama day at school. And so one of the girls had an all-in-one, one of these onesies, as a dairy cow. You know, it sounds obvious now, this 13-year-old girl is going to school on the school bus dressed as a dairy cow. She works at a dairy farm. Her family, everything is about dairy. And I was completely oblivious to that fact because I'm thinking too much about composition, light. I'm not thinking about what the story is and what the meaning behind the photography is.
Like, it sounds to me, so you've gone in there and shot as a documentary-style photographer, shooting like a day-in-the-life session.
Yeah.
Which would make sense to me and the listener. But isn't that still telling the story of a dairy farming family, what you're doing?
Yeah, if that's the story.
Okay, maybe tell us what the story was in the end so I've got a better idea of what you're missing.
At the end of the first day, so you finish your shoot. I started at about 6 in the morning. I got back to the hotel at about 10 o'clock that night. You hand your cards over. You've been shooting JPEG. Hand the cards over, they get downloaded. And then the next day is the crit. And we sit through every single frame that everyone shot, and it's probably a couple of hours sitting through each.
Is that tough to do that? Like sit through other people's photos and listen to them be critiqued, or is that helpful? I know some of it's going to be helpful, sure, but does it get boring?
No, not at all. That was the best part, because a lot of the lessons, we're all doing the same thing. And I learned as much looking at the other guys' work and listening to their quits as I did listening to mine. And it reinforces a lot of what you're learning, because you're hearing it and you're seeing different examples of the same mistakes that everyone's making.
Okay, so you get critiqued. Is that like a one-hour critique for you personally?
Yeah, it's a couple of hours, I think it was.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, and I shot a lot that day. I think I shot 4,000 or 5,000 frames, I think. So it was a lot to go through, and it was quite quick.
Was that normal? Is that what most people were shooting, that sort of number?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it was 13, 14-hour day, probably more than that, like 15, 16 hours, and it was a long time. And obviously, because I had no idea what the story was, I was shooting everything that moved. And so I think I shot less the second day, but purpose.
So when you're being critiqued by the other photographers, by the instructors, are they pulling any punches? Or if something's crap to them, do they tell you that it's crap?
Oh, yeah, totally. But it's at this point, it's less about your technique and a little bit about composition and light and a moment and, you know, giving a few tips on where you could have waited a little bit longer or where you could have changed your viewpoint. But it was more about trying to understand who you are as a person and what you want to say as a photographer. And this is where, you know, some of the tears would come in, where you're basically trying to figure out what is holding you back from being the photographer that you want to be. And a lot of that has got nothing to do with photography. It's about your personal life. And, you know, if there's certain issues in your life that are affecting the way you work and the amount of concentration you can put into telling the story on the day, then you need to get to the heart of that and try and solve that. And so all of that was built into the crit. And that's really what the value of a foundation is. And you can't really explain that to a third party without doing it yourself and going through the process.
Sure. Did you have tears?
I personally didn't. It was pretty close a couple of times. But, I mean, it's raw. And it's difficult as a, you know, someone who grew up in the UK with all of the barriers that we have in this country around you personally, going into somewhere like the States where they have absolutely none of those barriers and no inhibitions of public displays of affection and, you know, wearing your heart on the sleeve, however you want to call it. It's a different culture. And you have to leave that behind when you do this workshop. And if you don't, then you're not going to be open to the kind of learning that you can get. And to an extent, maybe I wasn't as open as I could have been just because of my personality. And it's hard having 40 years of keeping certain things to yourself and just getting your head down and getting the job done to open up over 3 or 4 days to complete strangers. But that's what the purpose of this workshop is all about. It's trying to break down some of those barriers so that you can expose what needs to be exposed and learn what you need to change as a person to grow as a photographer. You know, when I'm explaining it now, it sounds a bit wishy-washy. And
no, I think we're going on track perfect. I totally understand what you're saying. I guess I'm leading somewhere as well, because I'm curious to know, like, let's say, you know, you open up and you share that you, I mean, I'm not saying you particularly, let's say you have some addiction or you have some aversion to something or showing this affection in public. Let's say it's something like as simple as that. I mean, by having those fears and then losing them at this workshop, how can you use that when you come back to the UK to shoot a wedding? I mean, how is that going to affect your shooting when you get home?
Well, I think it shows you that these parts of your life affect your work as a photographer. And sure, it's only 2 days shooting and 5 days with these people, but the lessons that you learn, this is what's 3 months now since I've done this. And although the details are fading with time, the feelings and the lessons that I learned there are very much driving what I'm doing at the moment. And there's certain business lessons that I learned there that I've implemented into my photography business. And I think that's going to have an impact on this year's work. But also, I think the thing that really stuck with me was, and I didn't really get this until the last couple of months since I came back, it's trying to have something to say in your photography. And for a long time, I've had nothing to say, because working as a photojournalist, you have to be a little bit impartial. I mean, you have the choice of where to stand and when to shoot the picture, but you're still essentially trying to be very, very honest and truthful in the picture that you're showing, that you're taking of the scene. And I'm trying to get away from that, and I'm trying to have a feeling about what I'm shooting.
Let me interrupt you here, because I want to get to what you're doing now in just a sec. So let's go back to the critique day. You come out of the critique session And do you now know what the story is for your family, or do you still need to go back the next day and work out what that story is and start over?
Yeah, well, I made the decision after the first day crit that the story for me was Sonia, the mum. You know, she was a very, very strong lady. She is running this household of five kids. She's working with her husband on the farm and administering a fairly large portion of the farm and running a staff of 20 or 30 people. There's a couple of thousand cows on that farm. She's got rental properties. She's managing those. She's keeping the family together. She's, you know, driving them to dental appointments and putting up fences and all these amazing things that she was doing. And I was blown away with how well she handled her family and the farm. And it was that feeling that I think Ben and Candice picked up on that. And they said, that's what I need to explore, her relationship with her, the rest of her family, and just the utter hard work that she puts into life.
Okay, so that became the story. She did, Sonia did.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that was the story.
Okay, so another photographer might have gone in there and picked one of those five kids to be the story, or the cows to be the story, or one of the workers.
Yeah, that's why I missed the trick, really, because we flew in on Trump's inauguration day, and it's Texas. There's a big Trump following. There was a lot of talk about the time about what was about to happen in the States and where Trump was taking the country. And one of those big talking points was immigration and, you know, the war with Mexico. And a lot of the workers on the farm were Mexicans, and they spoke Spanish. They lived very secular lives on the farm. And with hindsight, that would have been a better story to follow, was one of these workers and a day in their life, what it's like to be a Mexican working on a big dairy farm in Texas on the week that President Trump has gained power.
Yeah, that makes total sense.
But the story's kind of irrelevant because the lessons to be learned are still the same about the subject and about how you work.
So talk about the lessons. So let's say you were to go, you know, go and photograph this family or another family again on the other side of the world. What do you do when you walk in? Do you start shooting everything that moves, or how do you change your approach?
Okay, so the big lesson for me was fall in love with your subjects, have an emotional connection with your subject, and use that to have something to say in your pictures. There's something interesting about everything. You know, every photographer decides to photograph a scene or a situation or a person for a reason, and trying to find what that reason is and trying to show that in the pictures, that's what I've been missing. And you know, I thought about this. I came back and my wife was quizzing me about what went on and what I learned.
I bet she was.
Yeah. And she said, yeah, I kind of don't understand that, because if you're shooting 40 couples next year, how can you possibly fall in love with each of those couples? And how can you get to know each of those couples and know their intricacies? And you know, what if you don't even like them? You know, what happens then? How do you show that in your pictures? And she was kind of right to an extent. You don't have to fall in love with the couples individually. The thing that I was missing was that the subject isn't the wedding. The subject isn't the bride and groom. The subject that we're shooting is people. And I think if you have a love of people and a love of personalities and, you know, what those relationships look like and how they manifest, then that's what your subject is each wedding. And it's taken me a while to realise that. And I think I'm slowly coming to that realisation that when I go to a wedding, yeah, sure, I have to get those key moments and the key pictures that the bride and groom are going to love and the family will share. But as a person, I'm, you know, as a photographer, and the way I want to develop is how I depict the individual characteristics at that wedding. And you know, you don't even have to like the subjects that you're shooting. I'm not saying that I do or don't like my couple, but as long as you feel something for them, then you can use that in the photography.
Premium members of PhotoBiz Exposed hear more of the best photography business strategies from every guest.
Mate, really, I really enjoyed chatting to you, Paul. And I know that, I'm guessing here, it might have been tough for you to come on and talk about a workshop that you'd been to that this seemed to be expensive and is like almost a little bit secretive, cult-like even. Yes, I don't know if that was tough for you to say yes, but I mean, you readily agreed, and I really appreciate the fact that you did. And, you know, for me and the listener, we're both thankful to have you here to talk about it and to share your experiences. And yeah, mate, it's been fantastic. So thank you.
Yeah, sure. No, it's been interesting, and it's kind of hard to talk about something that I don't have these answers. I'm still learning myself. I'm still, you know, if you talk to me in 6 months' time, maybe I'll have something completely different to say about this whole process. But at the moment, where I am 3 months after doing the workshop. This is how I feel, and this is how it's affecting my work. It's an ongoing process. Like I think any learning is, photography is just one of those things that you're continually adapting and learning, aren't you?
For sure, yeah. But where's the best place for the listener to go and check out your work and see it develop as you do?
Yeah, on the website, I'm posting most weddings on the blog now. So that will normally be the first view that clients get is when it's on the blog. And so that's a good place to see the new work. And also on Instagram, I post a fair amount on Instagram and Facebook as well, all the usual outlets.
Okay, well, I'll add links to all those in the show notes for today's episode. And the website is rogerspictures.com. Is that right?
It is, yeah, yeah. I've moved my website in January, and before Foundation or during Foundation, it's been a bit of a nightmare trying to move the website. But yeah, rogerspictures.com.
Okay. Hey, when I asked you to do this interview and you said yes, I had no idea whether this would be a photography experiment episode or a business episode. So for you, when you made the decision to go, was it a business decision or was it a creative decision to go to Foundation?
Definitely creative, with the hope that it was going to have a positive impact on my business. I mean, business is pretty good, has been good the last couple of years. There's a slight slowdown this year, and I'm seeing that with a lot of photographers and other vendors in the wedding industry. And there's definitely, you know, scope to improve, probably not numbers of bookings, but maybe the fee that's getting from each booking. And so if Foundation eventually has an impact on that, I'll be pleased. But the driving force was to creatively to find something new in my work.
Okay, awesome. I think maybe I've got an episode here for both. All right, Paul, mate, thank you so much again, mate. I really appreciate it.
All right, thanks, Andrew.
All righty, I hope you enjoyed that interview with Paul Rogers. Paul, if you're listening, again, thank you, mate, so much for coming on and being so open and sharing all your experiences that you had at the Foundation Workshop. I know that... Well, I felt like I was putting you under pressure a few times there. And like I said, I do really appreciate you being so open and sharing what you did. It's a big help for me. And I know the listener will appreciate what you had to share as well. For you, the listener, you absolutely have to check out Paul's work. I've got links to his social media profiles, his website, pretty much anything and everything that he mentioned in today's interview over at the show notes. You'll also find examples of his work and at the very bottom, a comments area. So if you have any follow-up questions for Paul regarding the Foundation Workshop, his photography, anything at all that he talked about, if you've got a question for Paul or if you just want to say thanks for coming on the show and sharing what you did, I know he'd love to read those comments too. You can find those show notes at photobizx.com/224. So photobizx.com/224. And if you are a premium member, Paul is also a premium member. You'll find him inside the members Facebook group. So if you have a specific question for him, or again, or you just want to say thanks for coming on, you can do that inside the members Facebook group.
It's shout out time.
I've got three big shout outs for today's episode. And the first one goes to Melbourne based photographer Najam Saqib. And Najam only recently joined up with a premium membership. He's on the $1 trial. And he says in his iTunes review that he's already blown away. He's taking notes inside Evernote while he's listening because he currently can't implement everything, but he's still enjoying listening. It was really cool to receive your review, Najam, especially after 2 weeks of listening, mate. That's just amazing. I love that you say that you highly recommend the podcast already and that it's highly addictive, mate. Thank you again so much for leaving your review. It does help me, and I love that you're getting so much from it already. My second shout out goes to, okay, I'm going to mess this up here. I'm going to do my best. The shout out is for Darren Vanderspol, and he is based in Okotoks, which I think is near Calgary or part of Calgary. So I don't know if I'm even saying that correctly. You're probably laughing at me, Darren, right now. Okotoks. You got to tell me if that's the right way to say it if you're from Canada. Anyway, Darren says that the podcast is fantastic and he's learned a ton already. So that's just fantastic. Darren, mate, again, thank you so much for taking the time to leave that review. It is a big help for me and the podcast to get discovered inside iTunes by other photographers. So, mate, thank you. My last shout out for today's episode goes to Melbourne family photographer Fran Jorgensen. And Fran says that every interview is packed with marketing and business tips. So many things to do and so little time. Loving this community. Oh, I hear you so much, Fran. I know there really is. There's so many things to take away from each episode, and they seem to come around so quickly. And this is a comment that I've had from other listeners as well. You know, there's just too much content. And one of the things I suggest you do if you are struggling with the content is exactly what James Schramko suggested at the very start of the interview that I did with him, I think almost 2 years ago now. He is a super successful internet marketer. He is a content making and marketing machine. And my question to him was, how do you deal with so much information? Like, what should we do? I said to him, you're going to come on now and share a ton of business tips and ideas. What do we do with all these tips that are building up and building up? And he had a great suggestion. He said, make a list of all the things you hear that you want to implement. And you might have 50, 100, 20, 40 different things on your list. He said, with that list, what you need to do is find the top three things that are going to affect your business positively and the most. So what three things on your list of 40 or 50 things that you want to do will have the most impact on your business? So which three things are going to get you more clients, are going to make you more money, are going to see you shooting more or shooting less and making more? You know, depending on your circumstances and where you're positioned at the moment, you need to look at what you want to be getting from your business. Find the three things in your list of things that you need to implement that are going to have the most effect, and then focus on those three things only. Forget the other 47 things on your list and focus on getting those three things done. And I think that was great advice. And then he said, you know, when you listen to the next week's podcast and you hear some more ideas, you can add them to your list. If you find that you discover something brand new that should be in that top three, work out where it fits and push something down to number four and forget about that, get focused on those top three. But you have to get the things done. You've got to implement, otherwise you won't see the results. So I would be very careful about pushing something down to number four before I finished one of those things on the top three of my list. So I hope that makes sense. It was like an epiphany for me. I was like, yes, that's exactly what I have to do. It doesn't matter how big my list is. Focus on the top three things. Get those done. Get those implemented. And then move on to something else in my list. And I can go back and revisit my list and reorder things as my business grows or progresses, or if my needs or wants for my business change and develop as well. So that list that you create is free-flowing. And you can revisit that as often as you need to and rejiggle and reorder things, but make sure you're getting things done. You know, it's no use just building a list without actually accomplishing anything. You've got to implement to see the results. So I hope that helps. And Fran, that wasn't directed just at you. It's a comment that I've seen from other listeners in the past. And I know it is a struggle to take in so much information from so many different sources. And even just the PhotoBizX podcast alone, I mean, there is, yeah, a huge amount of content to take in. Listen to it when you can. Don't feel like you have to listen to every single episode if you're overwhelmed. You know, if you come on as a new premium member, you don't need to catch up and listen to all 223 previous episodes to know what's happening in the next episode. It doesn't work like that. Pick and choose the interviews and the topics that you want to hear and start with those. And if you get stuck, if you're a premium member and you don't know where to start, send me an email, tell me what you're working on, and I will suggest or recommend the best podcast episodes to start with. And I do have on my list the plan to make this easier when you first sign up to become a premium member. I'm going to set up a start here page with a list of different podcast episodes to listen to depending on what you need to be focusing on in your business at that time. So look out for that. Later in the year, I'm thinking August, September, when that's up and running. But if you get stuck, if you're not sure where to start, send me an email. It's andrew@photobizx.com, or post inside the Premium Members Facebook group and we will help you together on where you should start, which episodes are going to be the most relevant to you and where you are with your business at the moment. And again, Fran, that wasn't solely for you. That was for any listener that's struggling with the content. And I just want to say again, a massive thanks to you, Fran, for leaving your review. It's a big help to me and the show. So thanks.
premium members of PhotoBiz Exposed hear more of the best photography business strategies from every guest.
I mentioned at the top of the show there is a membership special on the 12-month membership at the moment. This is going to be going for the rest of this month, June 2017, and yeah, finishes in about 2 weeks' time. So if you want to purchase the Facebook Ads course and a 12-month premium membership, which is normally $297, you can get that for $197. That's the full 12-month premium membership where you get access to the Facebook group, the mastermind group spreadsheet, the resource pages with extra discounts and promo codes and downloads. You get a special and personal premium RSS feed URL so you can hear the full interviews each week automatically and have them delivered to your phone. And you also get access to the premium only interviews, of which there is another one coming up very soon, which I know you're going to love. So all that is part of that bundle. In addition, you get access, well, you get included the Facebook Ads course, which yeah has just been phenomenal. The reports and the reviews and the emails that I'm getting about the success that people are having with that course are just amazing. You'll see so much more evidence of that inside the members Facebook group. So you can get that all together, that 12-month membership and the Facebook Ads course for $197. I've got links to that inside the show notes for today's episode. Now, if you've already purchased the Facebook Ads course, you can get the 12-month membership on its own, which is normally $200. You can get that for $147. And I've also got links to that inside today's show notes. So you've got two choices there, the bundle with the Facebook Ads course and the 12-month membership for $197, or the 12-month membership on its own for $147. It really is worthwhile becoming a member if you want to make money from your photography business. I mean, if that's your focus, if it's not just a hobby, if you are a listener who can take in and absorb what you hear and then go away and implement that into your business, then you will love the membership. And you know what? I used to think that the interviews was the sole draw card to becoming a premium member. And I guess in the very early days it was, but now with the members Facebook group and the premium only interviews, the mastermind group access, you know, all the little things that go into making the membership what it is, it's become so much more than interviews and a podcast. And that's what I'd love you to be a part of. Again, it's only going to be useful to you if you have the ability to take in what you hear and go away and implement what you learn. Otherwise, it's better to stay listening to the free episodes, you know, use it as entertainment or motivation on your way to a job or while you're editing. But, you know, what I found is if you are serious about your business, then you hear something, you learn it, you go away and implement it, and you get results. And those results should be increased traffic to your website. It should be more paying clients. It should be more leads. It should be more bookings. It should be higher sales. There should be more sales happening. And it could be one of those things that you're focusing on or all of them together. But you should be seeing results at where you're looking to get results if you have the ability to go away and implement what you hear. Because the interviews that I'm bringing to you each week are with photographers who are doing what they're sharing and they're having success with it. So there's no reason why you can't do exactly the same thing. And the beauty of having access to so many interviews is that you can find something that fits you, your personality, your business style, and go away and implement that. You know, whether that's incorporating swear words and cursing in your web copy and your advertising, or if it's preaching the fact that you are a God-loving photographer and you want to attract those kind of clients. I mean, you can go either way or somewhere in the middle, but you can find something that suits you and your style and make your business better and more successful by implementing the things that you hear on the show. Anyway, if you want to jump into one of those memberships, I've got links in the show notes, photobizx.com/224. And if you are a premium member and you're still listening to this announcement for the specials, I've got an email coming to you with something special as well. So look out for that one as soon as this episode goes live. And I'll also add those details inside the members Facebook group for you. Alrighty, that is it for this episode of the podcast. I hope you have an awesome week. I'm looking forward to getting out and having more of a play with my new little Fuji X100F. As much as I'm not into gear, it is So good, isn't it? To have a new camera, to have a new toy to play with. It's fun. It's motivating to go out there and use the new toys. I know it's not going to improve my business. It's not going to make me a better photographer. But if I'm excited and enthusiastic about shooting, then I'm a happy photographer. All right, that's it. Have a great week. I will chat to you soon. Bye for now.
If you have enjoyed this episode, head to photobizx.com. Join the conversation, leave a comment, and share your thoughts on the interview with Andrew and today's special guest.